morning, Hampton Heights. We're so glad to be with you this morning. We can't be with you in person because of COVID precautions, but we're glad to be able to share with you this morning.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for letting us be here. I'm Marcus, and this is Sarah Beth, and this little bundle of joy is Elias. This is the first video we've ever made with him, so we'll see how it goes. We are International Mission Board missionaries sent by you to serve the people of East Asia. And so if you hear nothing that we say this morning, please hear this one thing that we say. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for sending us to the nations. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us and 3,000 other missionaries like us all around the world. So we want to just say our thank you this morning. And also, while I was talking to Jean, I thought it would be great if we could share just a little bit of how the IMB did or has been doing recently by way of a short report. So I'm going to share with you some numbers, but I don't want you to hear the numbers. Please hear the people in these numbers. Please hear the far-flung places, the mountain villages that take days of effort to get to, the big cities, the hear us struggling through a conversation in another language in a big city. Hear the people in the numbers. So we want to share these things with you. So in the year 2019, the IMB shared the gospel with over 500,000 people. Over 500,000 people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ spoken to them. And that was in 827 different languages, places. That represents 827 different people groups that were engaged with the gospel. So just think about the different parts of the globe, the different languages, all of the different cultures that affect that. Over 827 different people groups. From those 500,000 that heard the gospel, 89,000 people decided right then to join our family. We have 89,000 new brothers and sisters around the world from all those different places because of the work that the Holy Spirit has done through the Southern Baptist Convention and the IMB. From that year alone, so just in 2019, over 47,000 people followed Christ's example in believers' baptism. And what makes me so excited is that there were over 12,000 churches planted in that year alone. That was made possible by the work that you guys support, how you join with us, how you support us through giving to the cooperative program and giving to the Lottie McChristmas Christmas offering. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, but I didn't know how all of that worked really until I started working with the IMB, and I realized just how important the Lottie McChristmas Christmas offering is. It is the shot in our arms. It is the food in our bellies. It is the Baptist relief efforts and monies that go all over the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's right. We want to say a big thank you to you and how you give and support and pray for us and missionaries just like us that are all over the world. And we want to encourage you to continue to do that, especially in your prayers. As Southern Baptists, we sacrifice and prioritize missions because we have two very simple and clear truths from Scripture that we believe, that Jesus is the only name under heaven that can save people from their sin and their separation from God. And people don't know Jesus unless someone goes and tells them about him. So there's no other way that we can make Jesus' name known other than these ways. So we're thankful for your support, and we want you to continue to pray with us and pray for us.
Yes, thank you for how you pray for us, thank you for how you support us, and thank you for how you join us in work all over the world, in some of the hardest to reach places of the world. We want to just take a moment to share some of our story with you. I am from just down the road from Hampton Heights. I grew up in Taylor's, and Sarah Beth is from Western North Carolina. We met in college, and we knew that the Lord wanted us to pursue Christian ministry and potentially serve as missionaries. Fast forward many years, we were married and in seminary, and we got the opportunity to go on a short-term mission trip to join an IMB team and to just kind of test out, could our family move to another place we didn't know, to a language we didn't know, and do this thing that would be required of being missionaries. And so we went to work with a team in the city of Tokyo, which is a city of 38 million people. So we went one day, we spent an afternoon prayer walking through the city. And while we were prayer walking, we went to a place called Tokyo Tower. So go with me in your mind's eye. Imagine this big tower with an observation deck on top. And it rises 1,000 feet above the city of Tokyo. And then just imagine you're up that high, and then imagine that for as far as you can see, you see city. All you see is apartment building, office building, gym, school. Apartment building, office building, gym, school. For as far as you can see, there's no trees that broke the horizon. There was no lake that broke the horizon. It was just people, 38 million people all together in that city.
That's right. So just to put that in perspective, the entire state of South Carolina has 5 million people. So Tokyo has nearly 8 South Carolinas all together in one metro area. So it blew our minds to see, one, because we're not from that kind of place, but two, just because the denseness of the population, and I want to share this with you, just let this sink in, because this broke our hearts. We knew that 0.58, so less than 1% of all Japanese people are Christians. For every one Japanese Christian, there are 200 people who did not believe in Jesus and may have never heard his name. So that afternoon, we stood and we looked out, like Marcus shared, at all of these buildings that are full of people. And the Holy Spirit used that experience to impress on our hearts that the world is full of people all over that have never heard his name. And he used that to stir up in us the desire to go, the call to go, and the need to go. So that was really how the Lord told us that we needed to do just that. We needed to go as missionaries.
There are people that needed to hear, and we felt the Lord say that we need to go. And we went back, we finished seminary, we started praying about where, Lord, would you have us go? And we were praying through it in a city in East Asia, a place we can't say where, because it's a place where missions is illegal, where the church is persecuted, and to protect our brothers and sisters, we can't say exactly where, but we were called to go and join hands, link arms with brothers and sisters, our family that was facing opposition from so many things. We were going to go join with them in sharing the gospel with these just mass numbers that haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in their language. So we moved. We sold most everything that we had. We moved without ever being at that place before, never having gone there before we moved. We didn't even know anyone in the city. We had FaceTimed with one couple, and they said they were going to pick us up from the airport. And I'm really glad that they did. It wouldn't have been very funny if they had, but if they hadn't picked us up. But they picked us up. And we didn't know a word of the language, but we started working to learn the language, to learn how to make friends. And as the Lord grew our ability to speak, we were able to make friends. We were able to join with brothers and sisters in studying the Bible. We were able to share the gospel with people who had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were able to meet with brothers and sisters who were opposed in almost every way you can imagine in leading a godly life. And we were able to read the word with them, and we were able to study the word and learn from them and also encourage them in following Christ. And it was wonderful. We loved serving in East Asia. But in the time that we were there, the government became increasingly harsh and hostile to Christianity. And so what we experienced a lot of churches being closed, a lot of Christians being persecuted, missionaries being expelled. We encountered a lot of opposition. It was very difficult for the church in that country. And so I beg of you guys today to remember the Church of East Asia in your prayers, to pray for those persecuted brothers and sisters, because they're living out the gospel in a place where it costs them, in some cases, it costs them everything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To say, I am a Christian, is to cost them everything. And so please pray for them. We saw that the Lord uses suffering and persecution to continue his work, even though it was difficult, even though it hurt. He used the closing of churches to spread believers across the city into smaller groups that would then share the gospel with more people, and more people would hear. He used the expelling of missionaries to relocate our brothers and sisters in places that they may never have gone otherwise, so that the gospel can continue to be known. The Lord used the suffering of the church to show just how important and sweet and precious the gospel of Jesus Christ is. And so we just wanted to give just a short report of what was going on and encourage you and ask you to join with us in praying for the Church of East Asia. We recently have learned that we can't go back. Part of that persecution now means that our family won't be able to go and join with the people that we love. And I will tell you this morning, church, that if you pray for people, even people you don't know and that are different from you, if you pray for them for years and years and years, Lord, give me a heart for these people, the Lord gives you a heart for those people, and it breaks our hearts that we cannot be amongst them. All of these challenges led to some dark days in our family, some difficult days, but we saw that the Lord strengthens his people through his word, and we felt the Lord increase our desire to endure and to work so that all people may know and all people may hear the gospel spoken to them.
That's right.
God has shown us more and more of his kindness, and we're so thankful for how you have prayed for and supported us over these past 2 years. People have come to faith, church. We've been able to walk alongside brothers and sisters make difficult, so difficult decisions, but take huge steps of faith and seen the Lord work and move. And in that time, we learned a language we didn't know.
That's right.
We were able to share the gospel in a tongue that we did not speak. Open the word and share from the word with our brothers and sisters. These are no small things, and we thank the Lord for them. We just wanted to share a little bit of our story with you, and thank you for letting us have that opportunity this morning. So now let's look at the word together. I want to encourage us, and let's look at what we can take from Scripture this morning that can strengthen us for our walk and our pursuit of Christ. So turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 39. We're going to be looking at this passage, Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. In following God's call, we have met a lot of opposition. We have had to fight the temptation to be discouraged and doubtful. The Lord has strengthened us from his word, And so I want to look at one of those texts that has been so encouraging to us this morning. Perhaps this morning you feel discouraged. Maybe you're asking yourself, how much more of this can I take? The church in Hebrews also faced a great deal of opposition. They had believed the gospel, but they were suffering. So maybe today you have believed the gospel, but you're suffering. Or maybe you're suffering and you haven't believed the gospel, and today you can hear the riches of Christ that will compel you to believe the gospel. So in the church in Hebrews, the church of Hebrews, doubts, discouragement, and a desire to give up had crept into the church because they're being persecuted. I think this is a situation that really speaks to where we are today. It's hard for us to be Christians in our world today. It's hard for us to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we can learn with the people of Hebrews today, this morning. So the author wanted to point the church to what could give them confidence. He wanted to point the church to the riches they had in Christ so it would strengthen them and compel them and propel them to follow Christ. And he spends his book, and he does a masterful job of talking about the confidence that we can have in Christ. So I want to jump in at chapter 10, but also before we look there, I want to summarize just a little bit of what's said before so that we can know, okay, this is what the author is really, really saying to us this morning. The author gives us three sources of confidence. So I want to just summarize those. If you got your Bible and you're looking at Hebrews chapter 10, you can even flip with me to chapter 1 just very quickly, and you'll see the first source of our confidence. Just right out of the gate, the author of Hebrews says that Jesus is the ruler and the king of the universe. That's where our confidence can come, number one. Jesus is the ruler and the king of the universe. And that's what we see in chapter 1, verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So church, this morning, hear that Jesus is, in a world that is broken, in a world that is full of sin and suffering, Jesus is still ruler of all. And he is the one that holds the world together by the word of his power. Just looking through those verses, you see just how good and how great and how grand Jesus is. And that should give us confidence, number one. Number two, a source of confidence. This great Jesus, who is ruler of all, who knows all, he also knows what suffering is like. Jesus knows what suffering is like. He knows how you feel. He is ready to hear your prayers and be merciful and helpful to you. Hebrews 2, chapters 2 through 4 talks about this, talks about how Jesus is the one that can sympathize for us. He's not someone that can't sympathize with our failures because he became a human. And he suffered, and he was rejected, and he died, and he rose again, overcoming our sinful, broken world. And so this morning, feel the weight of the God that is the ruler of all, who knows exactly what you are going through, also being able to sympathize with you. And then don't forget, at the end of the book of Hebrews, he talks about how Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. So Jesus knows how you feel. He knows what it's like to suffer, number two. And then the third source of our confidence, the The third source of our confidence is Jesus has saved all those who believe in his name. That's what the author of Hebrews talks about from chapter 4 all the way through chapter 10. He talks about how Jesus is the sacrifice that saves us. He is the one that can defeat death and sin. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. And he now stands ready to save all those who have faith in his name. Remember, faith is a huge thing in the book of Hebrews. So we have to believe in his name. So the author of Hebrews lists those three things. He says that you can have confidence because Jesus is Lord. You can have confidence because he knows what suffering feels like. He knows how you feel. And then you can have confidence because he stands ready to save all those who believe in his name. And then he comes to Hebrews 10:35. So look with me there now. Look with me there now. We're going to read it together. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. That's this encouragement, this exhortation, this keep going that the author of Hebrews writes to the church in their moment of discouragement. And so I want us to look at it today, and we can look at just two truths that we can pull from these four verses. The first truth is the Bible says, don't throw away your confidence. Hampton Heights, this morning, don't throw away your confidence. Remember the three sources of your confidence. Remember the gospel and remember how good our God is. And don't throw away that confidence. Hold on to it. That's what it says in verse 35. Therefore, here's a command, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. This command, it makes me think of Peter. Peter was a pastor and a church planter in our city in East Asia. And he had a vision to shepherd his people, to pastor his flock in a very difficult place, in a place where churches were being closed, in a place where the government was tracking believers and was opposing the gospel. He had a vision to continue to pastor his flock in his city, and then also to go outside of his city to start a church in an unreached people group, a people that had never had any church planted amongst them. He had this great vision. But one day, I was sitting with Peter, and Peter was telling me about how he was about to lose his job. And in our country, it was very hard for Christians to get a job. Very often, an employer would require idol worship as part of just the job requirements. And so it was really hard for a Christian who says, I will not bow down to idols, to find a job. And so I sat and I listened to Peter talk about how he was losing his job, which supported his family of four and also allowed him to continue to pastor. And honestly, I was sitting there thinking, what is Peter going to do? I saw no way that he was going to be delivered from this. He was going to lose his job. It was going to stop his work as a pastor. It was going to stop his work as trying to plant a church. And I was, to be honest, I was really, really discouraged. But Peter, when you hear him talk, he was so confident in the Lord. He was confident. He kept saying things to me. It was funny. He would say it in the native language. And then just to make sure I knew what he was saying to me, he would say it to me in English. And so he would say, the Lord has a plan. The Lord will work these things out. I don't see how I will be delivered, but I know that the Lord will deliver me. And so I sat there and I listened to Peter's confidence. And his confidence gave me confidence to keep going, to keep pressing. And so did you catch where Peter put his confidence? He put his confidence in the Lord. He put his confidence in what the Lord could do, not in what he saw. And that is, in many ways, the place where we get our confidence as well. And it's not a general confidence. It's not a confidence that, yeah, maybe it'll get better. It's not some cheery optimism. It's a confidence that we have from Scripture, a promise. It's a very specific type of faith. You can think and look back at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13, where it talks about how believers are to set their hope completely on the second coming of Christ. That is the source of our confidence. That is where we can say, you know, I don't know why I'm suffering the way that I am, but God is in control, and he will work all of these things out. We don't put our confidence in situations or jobs or vaccines or in our circumstances. We put our confidence in the fact that God is coming again, and he will make everything right, and he will right every wrong, and injustice will be done away with. And we can see now, we can see clearly then how we were delivered. But right now we don't see it. We believe in faith. We believe in faith. So this morning, I don't know what your burdens are. I don't know what worries you have about family. I don't know what fears you have for the country and for the community. I don't know about your anxiety for work. I don't know about your loss and your pain, but God does. Remember our confidences, church. God knows how we feel. And we can look at his second coming. We can look at the fact that he has given us all in Christ, and we can have confidence to continue on. So don't throw away your confidence. Be encouraged, just like Scripture encourages us. When you look down and feel overwhelmed by your burdens, look up to the one who stands ready to bear those burdens with you. Remember that he paid it all. He paid it all for us. Remember the suffering of Christ to strengthen you as you suffer in this world. Remember those things. So, point one, don't throw away your confidence. We have a great confidence. Point number two, obey in faith. Faith is all about things that we don't see. In chapter 11, verse 1, you'll see, now faith is the assurance of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. It's the assurance of things not seen. The Bible says in verse 35, so that when you have done the will of God, obedience, when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. See, Christians are the richest people in the world. We're just not rich in the world's money. We're the richest people in the world. We're just not rich in the world's money. You look around and you might say, oh, these Christians, they don't have very much. But we have an inheritance that's set aside for us. It's a coming inheritance. It's a not seen inheritance. It's a motivation that we don't see now. The world looks around and they're like, why do they act the way that they act? But it's going to be clear later. Think about 1 Peter 1. He talks about the inheritance that has been set aside for the Christian, for the believer. And that gives us confidence, and it gives us hope. It gives us hope. We know that a day is coming when all will be made right, but we don't see it now. So we believe, we trust, we obey based on something that we don't see yet. It's like we haven't turned the corner. We can't quite see where our hope and confidence lies. We just have his word. But we know that once we turn that corner, we'll see, oh, it's all delivered. It's all made right. evidence of faith is obedience. So believe and then obey. So I don't know what obedience the Lord's calling you to this morning. I don't know what sin the Lord is asking you to put down. I don't know what enemy the Lord is asking you to not hate but love, to not hate but pray for. I don't know who that is. I don't know who the Lord is calling you to forgive. All based upon something that hasn't been done yet, that hasn't been seen yet. But I'm encouraging you this morning to put aside the things of this world, the things of the flesh, the sin that is a part of our hearts that we want to do, but the word tells us not to do, and to believe in faith. I don't know what neighbor the Lord is calling you to reach out to and share the gospel with. I don't know what those things are, but I'm praying, and I ask that you would join me in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to make that clear to us. Lord, what obedience do you want from me today? What obedience are you calling me to? We want to obey his word in faith and trust his coming, because church, Jesus is coming. So we have those two things this morning. Don't throw away your confidence, church. Obey in faith. And I want to pray for Hampton Heights. I want to pray these things for Hampton Heights now. So if you will, bow your heads with me in prayer. Holy Father, I thank you so much for Hampton Heights. I thank you for the measures of your spirit, Lord, that are in the men and women that make up Hampton Heights. I thank you for their witness to the community. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to feel the confidence that they have in Christ, to look at Christ and to see their great Savior anew this morning. And I pray that vision of Christ would motivate them all the more to acts of good, to good deeds, to acts of faith, to belief. Lord, I pray that you would grow your church. And Lord, I pray that all of Greenville County and all of South Carolina and all of the United States and all of the world would benefit from the faith of the men and women at Hampton Heights. Lord, I pray these things. And I pray, Lord, that your blessing upon them. And I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for letting us be here with you this morning. We are continuing to pray for Hampton Heights. You guys are on our prayer list. You're in our hearts and you're in our prayers. We want to ask you to also remember us in your prayers. We cannot return to the place that we served in previously. We can't go back. It breaks our hearts, but we can't go back. But the Lord has called us to a new place. The Lord has called us to move to Sweden, a place and a country that we have never thought about living before and not really thought about very intentionally before 2020. But the Lord has said that this is where I will have you go and plant your life and work so that all Swedish people have an opportunity to believe, and that the Church of Christ can be built up and encouraged and strengthened. We're so excited to go and to serve in this way. Please pray for us as we go, and particularly, please pray for our visa. It's really hard to travel and to go places in COVID world. So please pray that we would be able to have a visa and be able to join in the work, to get started in the work soon. We ask you, please remember us in your prayers for these things. We're going to be continuing to pray for Hampton Heights. We love you. We're so thankful for you. Thank you for letting us be with you this morning. Bye for now.